Hey guys, here's just some information on the upcoming Lorehammer tournament slash game day hangout that we have. The date is officially set as November 16th. The cost is going to be $30. You will only get a spot once your payment has been accepted by us. The format is going to be a doubles escalation league. It is a single faction per player list. Point values are 500, 1000, and 1500. Each subsequent list must have the same unit, but not the same upgrades, as the previous. This is a friendly tourney. It's more of just a game day. Don't bring your Triptides. Or if you do, shame. We're going to have a couple categories for prizes. We'll start with wins. We'll have best painted, sportsmanship, the best story, and then also just a fun category. In regards to best story, what we are going to ask is if you'd like, you can submit the lore or story of your army. When you submit your list, Mark and I will go over it, and then we will share your lore with everyone. The day is going to start at 8:30 a.m. in the morning. It will finish around 7 p.m. It could go longer. It depends on games. Lunch is going to be provided between games 1 and 2. Snacks will be provided after game 2 just to tide you over so you don't get hangry. And drinks can be purchased at the store. If you are a single participant, you don't have a partner, don't worry about it. We will match you up with someone once you're there. And then finally, there are only 24 spots available, so sign up as soon as possible. Your spot is only guaranteed after we have confirmed your payment to us, and you need to contact us for payment info.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron. Or you can buy cool Lorehammer products like shirts, coffee mugs, and dice bags at www.redbubble.com. Don't want to spend any money? Well, you can help out the show by giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also hop on over to Facebook and like our page, and feel free to send us a message. It's the only enjoyment Mark gets out of his miserable life.
Hello and welcome back to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
Hey there.
I'm Mark.
Yep.
Mark.
Hey, it's Jordan.
Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
Hello. Eric.
Okay, I'm going to turn you right down, Mark.
Mark.
And joining us today is Rio.
Rio.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you, Rio. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. The Lorehammer, the late night Lorehammer show. when do we get a band?
Lorehammer Late Night.
Does that mean I can really get crazy with my thoughts?
No.
Really unleash, because only adults can listen now because it's late. You guys want to hear about aliens?
Oh, I do.
No, not really.
There are 7 types of aliens, okay? The Klexians.
Who was telling me a little while ago that our intros are too long?
That was me.
Oh, okay.
And this is what I meant by they're too long. We ramble for 5 minutes about nothing.
About aliens.
Yeah.
This is actually, I've heard podcasts where they go on for like a half an hour before they even touch the topic.
Well, that was what we did last time.
Oh, no, it was only 20 minutes, but that was like, whoo.
Yeah, that's a long time to go without touching on the topic.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, generally.
Especially since like our content itself is so shitty. So
it's right. Well, that was what I said.
You wait 20 minutes and then you.
I feel like generally we're pretty good, though. Oh, like, sure. We don't like go too bad.
People should just send us emails saying how they like the intro to Jordan. If you don't like it,
yeah,
send it to him as well.
Okay.
He can. Shuffle through it all. Yeah.
All our.
I'll make sure I put it in my suggestion box.
Yeah.
Or just the trash.
The trash can. Sounds about right. Before we do dive into the episode, though, there's a couple housekeeping items.
Bear with us for 45 minutes, guys, and we'll get into the episode.
If you want to skip ahead to the episode, just go to Mark 1 hour and 22 minutes, and then we'll start the episode for you. So the first thing we need to do is thank our new Patreon members, and we've got some good ones this week. So Ashton, thank you.
Thank you, Ashton.
Demica? Mm. Is the H silent? Is the H silent?
I think the D is.
Emica.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Brittany, spelled Demica. Thank you to Bradley. Thank you to Julian. Thank you to Onion Pop-Tarts.
What would we do without them?
Thank you to Brad. Thank you to Dr. Hank. And thank you to Jacob.
Wow, thanks.
All our new patrons that we've received since last time we recorded.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your continued support of a show that is absolutely meaningless and offers zero benefit to your life.
Thank you for the support of this public radio program.
The next thing we are going to talk about, though, is Warhammer Combat Cards.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's the app.
It's a app. It's a game. It's, you play on it.
That's right. You download it. You do the button pressing.
It's for iPhones, Androids. Right.
Moving on.
I've downloaded it, played it.
Have you?
All the way through.
Jordan, why are you lying to us? Why are you lying to the people?
I'm trying to hype it up, man.
What's it called?
It's called Warhammer Combat Cards.
I'll download it right now.
You should. Yeah. It's actually pretty fun. But so we went over it. We've gone over a couple things in a past.
It's a free download too. So.
Yeah, it's free to play, but microtransactions, like everything these days. So in it today, we're going to talk about the artwork.
Yeah.
Because every single card, of which there are hundreds, has like their own unique artwork.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like one of the things about 40K is the art that like gets people in, you know, like even you, Jordan, where you don't play tabletop or nothing like that. Still, I remember way back in the day, you commented, you like the art. Like,
I like the modeling.
It's
the crafty section. And that's like a lot of what is on the Warhammer Combat Cards is they'll take the model of like whatever unit you have on the card itself, and they'll put that as like the picture,
little background in it.
Yeah.
No, it's very cool. I like it. Like, I'm not much of a gamer, but I like the art. I like the lore, and this game has both those in spades.
Yeah, exactly. So it's something that you can really enjoy, and something that adds just to the flavors. That everything is very stylized. Even the battlefields you play on, like the backgrounds when you're actually playing, there's like different ones, and depending on like who you're fighting, they'll like be themed to that. That is very cool. It's a nice aspect of it. And then something else we're going to highlight during this is the campaigns that they have.
So like it's a deck building game, so you know, you could play just by yourself and make, you know, some weird deck with orcs and space marines in one deck.
Actually, I don't think you can do that.
Can't you just?
I don't think you can put orcs and space marines in the same one.
Not, I mean, like in free play, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's still limits in free play.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. But like you could put like any of the Imperium ones together. You could put a Commissar with a space marine.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, campaigns, however, they take it to the next level and they really make you limit. Like, so they make you actually choose a specific deck. Only space marines. Only orcs, and then you have to fight your way through, you know.
Yeah, which is kind of cool, because it's mirroring campaigns that actually exist in 40K.
Oh, cool. So, like...
So, like, you'll do Armageddon.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool, then.
Let me pull up the app right now and see what is the current
campaign. So, this is extra 5 minutes right here of waiting for you to load an app. This is why the intros are so long.
Well...
No, that's cool. I didn't know that they did actual, like, existing campaigns.
The current campaign is the Skull of Khrengar. Abaddon's fallen legions strike at an Eldari maiden world seeking a dark prize. They must not succeed.
Cool.
So in this campaign, you play only as Eldari.
Oh, nice.
And you're fighting specifically chaos things, which is it's cool. Like you follow like that's a story as you do it. And obviously,
so then like every time you do a new battle or whatever, they give you a new like information blurb, like
you fight like just different chaos people throughout the entire of the campaign,
okay,
and you just do it as many times as you can to earn rankings. And then depending on where you finish in the rankings, like globally compared to everyone else in the world, you get prizes.
Oh, okay. So you're actually, that's cool.
It's very cool.
That's
I much enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like a cool game. Like,
so you
like
guys,
40K and you like apps. Like,
yeah, it's what,
check it out.
We've gone over it before, but it's a quick game.
Yeah.
Just, you should download it, check it out.
Give it a whirl.
Give it a, give the old college try.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Okay. Sorry. I know one more thing.
One final thing. But this is a good one.
Well, they're all good, or else we wouldn't.
Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, I mean,
that's how this works. Mark. What are we talking about here?
We are building a Lorehammer petting zoo, as I mentioned in a previous episode.
You pet us, we pet you back.
Yeah, exactly. A lick for a lick is what I always say.
I feel like this is a Me Too story just waiting to happen.
Yeah, I want to get in on this. Yeah,
I too would like to pet Lorehammer.
Okay. Me too, please. Me too.
No, but we're building an actual podcast studio.
Yeah, yeah. So I ended up taking half my garage and I built a wall in between, cut it in half, and we are making like an official little studio for us. Because right now we're in my mom's basement, so
it's not ideal.
Yeah, no. It every time I come back here, it's a blow to my
quite the living stereotypes too.
Yeah,
being in your mom's basement.
Do all of us have facial hair? No. That's all right, Rio. Next time,
yeah,
I'm doing my best.
That's right.
Oh no!
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for trying.
This is actually all I can grow.
Eyebrows.
It's clean shaven.
Eyebrows don't count as facial hair, Rio. In a traditional sense.
Yeah,
but yeah, so
we're trying to get like a dedicated space.
Yeah, and part of the reason why is because we've mentioned we want to do video, so we're making a nice like visually appealing like actually a nice space. So we're just going to go over a little bit because ultimately we want your money to help support
that's
us
what
in this
whole
project.
Thing is.
You got to spend money to make money.
That's
yeah,
right.
But we're not even making money as a thing. Like we just don't want to have to pay our own money for this studio. So we've been taking a bunch of our Patreon money and some ad money and stuff and putting it into this, but we still need more.
Mm-hmm. Always need more because we need to buy more stuff.
Yeah. Like we want professional lighting in there, good camera and stuff, but we'll kind of go over kind of just real quick.
Yeah. So what are we doing? We're building a studio. What have we done so far? So we've put the wall up.
Yeah.
It's been mudded.
Yeah. And yesterday I just finished painting it. So
kind
of the next big step is doing the flooring, doing some electrical, and then
a lot of the electrical has been done.
Oh, yeah. But
floors have been bought. We just need to put those down.
That I'm doing today.
Yeah.
Can we do progress pictures?
Yeah, I've been taking pictures.
Yeah, we have
the
some
way.
Pictures. We'll put
really,
those
it's just pictures of my face and like the disgruntledness of it. Like I started the project all happy, and you can see the various stages of depression seep in. So that's always nice.
Yeah.
So
that's what we've done so far.
Yeah.
It's about 60% there.
Yeah. Yeah. The hard stuff's all done. Now it's kind of more just like picking out the right soundproofing, picking out the right lighting. Like, it's not hard, but it's
expensive, first of all. So what does having a studio do for you, the listener?
Not the people.
I just felt like it was a little played out.
Okay.
Just kidding. I was going to do that later. I was saving it, Mark.
So the big thing is, like I said, we want to be able to film it. And part of that is like, we want a nice area. So like, we plan on building a nice table with like a TV in the back so we can pull up images and, have just a nice setup so you guys can enjoy watching. Because lots of people.
It's going to add another dimension in your ability to enjoy four dudes talking about make-believe world. If that's something that sounds enjoyable.
Did we just waste a bunch of money?
I think we just wasted a bunch of money.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, what are you going to do?
But it'll just be nice too to have like a dedicated spot for us where we can just go and not have to disturb my parents.
It won't disturb anyone. It's nice and out of the way. And
yeah.
Yeah, but it should just increase the production value of what we can offer to you guys. It should increase the different ways you can enjoy it. So It'll only ever give us other options in case we want to branch out and do more things with video and do more things with recording and offer more. It should just give you more.
Exactly.
But the only thing is
money.
If you want more, it costs money. So give us more.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the project's going to cost us like $2,000 start to finish. We're about
allegedly
no that's now my highball is guess. It and that's including the mudding and stuff like we had to pay for a professional mudder, which was like $650 to do, so it's like whoo. But on that note, like contribute, help us. We're making a lot of progress, like we're gonna get done by the next time we record.
We will be audio recording in there by next week,
but then we still need a bunch of money for cameras, lightings, and kind of more different things. But help us. You can contribute.
You can do one-time donations to us through PayPal, if that's your shtick. Or you could just consider becoming a patron member and have me butcher your name as we say thank you to you. For the low price of $300 a month, you can you can feed Mark.
Yes.
And so he will continue to make content.
Yeah. But no, seriously, guys, like even if you can just give us like $1, you know, we have like 10,000 listeners. So it's if everyone gives a buck,
$1,
just imagine how crazy of a studio we could build, you know,
and then imagine how much more crazy content we would do. I'm quitting school. If that's happening.
Yeah. Like,
we'll just make videos for you guys.
Just really
all
consider
day.
Like a one-time donation, you know,
sure.
If somebody gave $50, that goes a long way towards like that $2,000, you know, it doesn't take long before, you know, that adds up.
If everyone contributes and joins the commune.
Exactly. So please help. I just want to give one shout out to Matt. He was on our last episode, actually. He flew to Canada from the UK just to hang out.
Well.
To make love.
Allegedly, it was for his vacation.
Oh, no. I don't know how his wife tagged along on that, but somehow she did.
It was supposed to be just him.
Yeah, it was supposed to be me and Matt forever and ever into the night. But
you go to the airport and you're like, who's this bitch?
Yeah, I was like, But so he had a little bit of vacation money left over, and he ended up giving us a huge chunk of money. Like, he gave us £300, which was 500 Canadian.
Wow.
It's just like,
very generous.
Very generous. So
it's amazing.
Woody, I'm sorry, you're not the highest contributor now.
No.
I know, I had to break the news
Woody,
to him.
Woody, no.
But he vows revenge. And I don't know what that means, whether it's more money for us or murdering. I don't know. But that's the new bar. Thanks again, Matt.
That's the new bar. If you don't pass it, you failed.
Yeah. So please help us contribute. Yeah. We're doing this for you guys. Like, me and Eric and Jordan, we haven't pocketed any money off of Lorehammer yet. We're just trying to put everything back into the podcast. So help us contribute. We'll do better stuff, more stuff, different stuff.
Yeah, it's just to make a better product for people.
So we can eventually take your money.
Right. Yeah. So eventually I can live off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
In the studio.
Live in
where I'll sleep.
Oh, are the three of us moving in? Should I put bunk beds?
No. The carpet's fine. We'll all just snuggle.
I think that's all. I think that's... I
that
think
was
we're ready
a long intro.
Yeah.
That's a 15-minute intro. What more do you guys want from me?
I think that one, though, was actually good. There wasn't a lot of, like, derailments. It's very
fair
focused.
Enough. Yeah.
But
there will be.
Well,
there will be, just you wait.
All right, well,
I'll make sure of it.
Let's get into it. This is our 57th episode. Anyone have any special 57 number?
No, I don't think we're quite that level of...
Ooh, Colin's going to be really disappointed.
I feel like we should have like a special 100th episode, but will it be on episode number 100 or after we've actually, because we've recorded like more than 57 episodes with all our bonus content?
Yeah, it should be on the main episode 100.
Yeah,
we will finally do a Space Marine Legion. Just imagine that. We'll pick one.
No, my god. Yeah, but
we're almost there. 43 more, guys. Let's go. Yeah,
it's only been 2 years.
Yeah.
So today, episode 57 is named the Divisio Militaris, but most people probably don't understand what that actually comes from.
Dumb bitches don't speak High Gothic.
Did you know it was called the Divisio Militaris?
I know everything, Eric.
Okay, yeah. I always will. So he did not. The Divisio Militaris is all about the AdMech.
Yeah, so...
The Adeptus Mechanicus.
Just like the Imperium has all their different branches of their military. You know, they got their Imperial Guard, they got Space Marines,
they got the Navy.
Scions, they got the Navy. The AdMech, since technically it's its own little empire, mm-hmm. has all of its own stuff. Because it's been around even before the Imperium and had a lot of these things even before the Imperium was a thing. Yeah. So...
And it has a decent sized list. We're not going through everything today.
Yeah, so we last time we talked about Mechanicum, we talked about the Scutari,
which are a part of the Divisio Militaris. Yes. So we're not going to go over them today.
No.
The other things that we are not explicitly doing this episode are the Collegia Titanica. Ooh. Or Titan Legions.
Oof.
We're not going to do Nighthouses.
Oof. Even better.
And we're not going to do the Legio Cybernetica.
Oof. Pretty good, but not as good as the Nighthouses.
Okay. Mark, put your pants back.
Yeah, like, the thing is, all four of those have so much information. Yeah,
they're good enough for their own episodes. Exactly. In their own right. So.
Yeah.
We just wanted to cover some of the other aspects of the Mechanicum before, you know, we do a deep dive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because we do those.
Well, yeah. You got to get climated the deeper we go. So we got to stay on certain levels.
Yeah.
We're on this middle level
acclimated.
Now. Climated. That way you climb.
Yes, you have to change the climate in order to...
Isn't that what climate change is all about?
It's all about Warhammer.
It's all about, yeah, getting deeper dives into Warhammer.
Into Warhammer, that's right. Greta doesn't know what she's talking about. No, she just thinks it's all about actual climate, and it's not. It's Warhammer, Greta. Pick up a model.
Greta
Thunberg. Yeah. I feel like that's almost could be a Warhammer name. Greta.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Some
character.
Yeah. I remember when I first got into Warhammer, and very fresh, didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Putting like orc arms on a space marine, having Mark just have an apoplexy in the corner as he's watching me, but he just knows that the hooks are sinking in. Mm-hmm. You know, he's pretty smart with it. Anyways, so I
let him do what he wants. Soon he'll be doing a podcast with me.
I remember like multitude of times I would go to him and I'd be like, "Wouldn't it be sweet if this was a thing?" And I'd like fully like describe something to him, and he's like, "Yeah, that's totally a thing in Warhammer." And I'm like, "No, it's not." And he's like, "It totally." And then he goes into it and shows me. I'm like, "Yeah, but wouldn't this be cool?" And he's like, "That's also a thing that's already in Warhammer."
Further proof that I do know everything.
No, you just know more than some.
Oh, but less than most?
No, probably still more than most. But doesn't mean the knowledge is good.
Ah.
Just means you have it.
You're like a PhD, Mark, in Warhammer.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
What does one do? I teach. That's all I can do. Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's go into the actual aspects of the Divisio Militaris today. The first one being the Centurio Ordinatus.
Very cool. So this branch is responsible for the massive war machines, each made uniquely with a uniquely unique and specific function and unique purpose.
Mm.
With the Centurio Ordinatus are some of the most revered machines of the machine cult.
Yeah, do you guys get it yet? Unique.
They're very unique.
Unique. Singular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these machines require disturbing amounts of resources to create. And most Forge Worlds, they either can't create them just because they don't have all the resources, or they're not given clearance or authority from like the leaders of the Cult Mechanicus to actually create them.
Yeah, like as we get into some of them, these
are holy machines.
Yeah, and some of them could be just, you know, the miles long or
size of mountains
or just do crazy things. So yeah, like each one to even do, you know. Yeah, you need some clearance. You can't just build these.
Yeah, you can't just... Even though one of them was, at one point, willy-nilly put together,
mm-hmm.
it barely lasted. It was... there was, like, a crashed Mechanicus, like, void ship
on a planet,
and some guy took, like, a cannon and put it on something.
Put a Starship's cannon on some tracks, and
exactly.
There you go.
Like, personally, sounds a little bit heretical to me, but, you know. The Imperium will understand.
Yeah.
Mars will understand.
For their creation, they require specialized tech priests with special or specific augmentations.
Unique augmentations, almost?
Unique, yes. Mm. Very unique. Hmm. These tech priests will also use these special upgrades to man the war machines. So, yeah, depending
on... It's not just anyone either that can make it. So yeah. You need a resource-rich planet. You need the clearance. The conditions must be perfect.
Hmm. Another crazy thing is, like, you actually need somebody with, like, the mind for creation. Like, a lot of the Imperium is built on stagnation, where each one of these is, like, uniquely built...
Imaginative.
Yeah, uniquely built for a very specific purpose. So you actually have to have somebody who's, like, actually thinking, like...
Problem-solving.
Exactly. So it just makes it even more unique.
More rare and special and singular.
Mm.
Yes. So there is no standard crew allotment for an Ordinati because each Leviathan-sized machine has very different needs and requirements. So you can't just say like, yeah, there's 20 guys that crew each one because some might need 300, some might need two. You never know. And while there is not a standard crew in person, people-wise, each one has been given a massive machine spirit. And this machine spirit is capable of controlling, like, the million different aspects in these machines.
Yeah.
Hmm. Like, just, like, the amount of computation required to lift, like, a leg on this machine.
That has, like, 8,000 pistons in it.
Yeah, it's wild to think about.
Yeah.
The cogitator required. Hmm.
There are no duplicates of Ordinati as they are purpose-built. As, for example, the Ordinatus Mars was created with a sonic disruptor, while the Ordinatus Priam was created to tunnel through the planet and bear troops to the other side.
Yeah, and like...
Why they didn't go around the planet, who knows? Maybe it was so heavily defended, they're like, we'll just go through the planet.
Wow. Yeah,
so
maybe it was all in secret, and they're trying... who knows? Why Priam was built to time. I'm sure there is a reason. I just don't know it.
Yeah.
For
fun. Could have just been for fun. Who knows?
Do you want to read the next one, Rio?
Sure.
Yeah. There you go.
Each war machine is named for the planet that it was created on. And it's not unheard of for these machines to be too large to remove them once they have served their purpose.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
Sometimes they're so big that they just can't get them off planet.
That's insane.
So once they're done...
Like, yeah, and just for even like references, like there's, you know, Warhound Titans, Reavers, Warlords, Imperator, Emperor, and they can get all those Titans off, even though those Titans, you know...
Hundreds of feet.
Yeah, like hundreds of meters, some of them. You know, these giant, almost city blocks. They can get those off, but Ordinatus are so big they can't... You can't get them off.
I also think there's another reason is because Imperator class Titans, like even though they're rare, there are still multiples of them. So they have like specific ships designed onto those.
That makes sense.
Whereas these machines are so unique, like you'd have to build it in another ship just in order to lift them off the planet.
Wow. Yeah.
So they just leave them there because they're
And I guess since it's so purpose built, it's like,
When are we ever going to need to tunnel through a planet again? Next time we'll just destroy it.
Exactly. You
know? And I guess since they're so unique, they could probably look like anything, right? So they can look like just a giant knight, maybe, or
It could be that. It could be like some type of like squid beast thing, you know, that crazy. Swims through the water, and like it could be anything.
A bird.
Could we're going just with animals?
Yeah, that's right.
There's rhinos out there. I've been told.
Yeah. Dogs.
I personally am a cat guy now after owning cats. You know,
cockroaches.
like really. Your imagination can go wild with it, not only with the scale, but also the design of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow, that's sweet.
And then just another thing to drive home that point that these are unique things is each one is named for the planet it's made on. There's no Mars and then Mars 2 and then Mars 3 and then Mars 4. Like Mars had an Ordinatus.
Yeah.
And it was called Mars.
Yeah.
You know, Priam, there was an Ordinatus made on Priam and it was called Priam. Right, so they're not they're not batch making these.
Just to spit in your face here, Mars did have multiple.
I know they did because they used them in the schism against each other. But I'm assuming
you dumb bitch.
I'm assuming those were all like the smaller class.
Yeah, most Ordinatuses. Likely. Yeah, because as we get into it, there's two types of Ordinatuses here.
Yeah. Are we almost there? We're almost there. We're almost there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's one more line before that. Because the creation of these. Machines are such a terrible endeavor. They were mostly formed during the Great Crusade, when the Imperium of Man was united in purpose. And since the Horus Heresy, many machines were lost or and sealed away, even. Mm. And the rediscovery of the of these machines can often result in civil wars for control of this vital tool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like these machines are capable of terrible destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. Is there a number on how many of these are in the galaxy?
More rare than Titans.
Yeah, so who knows? 100? Who knows?
10?
Wow. 10? Who knows? Hard to say.
There's got to be more than 10.
Games Workshop is very finicky with their numbers.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are two main classes of Ordinati, the smallest being the Ordinatus Minoris Macro Engine.
Mm-hmm.
These Ordinati share the basic movement chassis. They are commonly seen with a treaded or track system, but that's where the similarities end. They're then fitted with their specific purpose.
Yeah, which a lot of times is a specific weapon.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the main theme, is that you got these tracks and then just this massive battery engine.
Yeah.
With disgusting weapons on it.
But sometimes, you know, they can have troop transports or whatever.
Sometimes it's a drill.
Sometimes tunneling it's a giant drill. Yeah. So, just for a sense of scale, the size of these battle tanks is normally around 21 meters long or 70 feet.
Yeah. And this is their small ones.
Basically, what ended up happening is Games Workshop came up with these so they could actually make models for them, because you could never make a model for a true Ordinatus,
mm-hmm.
because it's just...
It would be so...
It'd be the size of my bed, you know? Yeah. Like, it'd just be...
But another thing about it is that, like, if you did one Ordinatus, and then if you ever to do another, they would have to be so different.
You'd have to, do a completely different model.
Yeah, you couldn't even, like, draw from the other one. So instead, they said, okay, there's a chassis that they share, and we'll just swap weapons and, like, the top of it.
Yeah.
So there's rules for these, then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like
For the small ones, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, not for the big ones. I think for the small one, it's the Ullator.
Yeah.
That's the only one?
No, they got a couple.
Even for 40K?
I don't think they got any for 40K, technically. I don't think any of the rules are out. But for 30K, they have three different types. They have two guns and then one transport.
Oh, okay. Oh, that drill one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
One's a volcano cannon, one's like a sonic weapon, and then a transport.
Yeah.
But yeah, so these ones, they're a lot more standard.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot more common.
A lot more easier to build.
Yeah. But even at that, they're still super rare, and you know, you don't see them very often.
No.
But the true ones are called Ordinatus Primaris.
Ah, yes.
Sweet Primaris.
So now we have Ordinatus Primaris. We need to keep a list of all the things
they use
that are Primaris.
Yeah. So these machines are way more in line with what we were describing before, with like each one is uniquely purpose-built. These machines are created on another level entirely. Completely unique, they cannot possibly resemble each other, for each is created with a very specific task, environment, and time frame in mind, each with an entirely different resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy to think that... So let's say, okay, so we listed three things there. So specific tasks, environments, and time frames.
Yeah.
So a specific task. Maybe the entire task is to obliterate a castle.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, all you need to be is a massive gun.
Yeah, you don't need it to be moving. Or,
right, you don't need anything beyond that. Maybe the whole purpose for your Ordinatus is to survive, like the planet is about to blow up, or like you know it's about the planet fail, so you build something capable of withstanding. Like
the planet blows up, it's just there now.
Right, yeah.
No, absolutely, that could be an Ordinatus.
So all it is just these massive shield generators, still stationary, right? So these things are built very specifically.
Yeah.
Environment, like what if you have a water planet?
Yeah.
You need to build something capable of going through water.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or going down to the deepest depths to be able to purge the Xenos, you know, you need to be
there's a chaos portal in the middle of the planet, so you need to go to the middle of the planet, or if it's a snow, like there's a lot of snow on the planet, like you can't have just the same thing as a swimming thing, it's got to be different. And you need, it's got to be built specifically to its environment.
Exactly. That's skis.
That's right.
Are you a tech priest, Jordan?
Who knows,
these mechadendrites are everywhere. And then lastly, which I think is one of the most interesting, is the time frames.
Yeah.
So like, what if the entire purpose of this thing is to last one battle?
Yeah, literally. Like you said, its purpose is to destroy the castle. You build it, it shoots once, castle's gone. Okay.
Yeah, like, they're not going to take it apart because it's a holy relic.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to ever use it again.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what could possibly, now that they've destroyed that, what could possibly rise up that warrants using this weapon?
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, it might just be, like, yeah, if the shield one that I said earlier, once the planet is, you know, destroyed and it's all that's left, it's served its purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, no one's saying these things have to have a purpose beyond what they were initially created for.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Before these behemoths are unleashed on the battlefield, they must be blessed by the Lord Centurio Ordinatus, and during battle, they are protected in the same manner as the Fable Titans with the Scutari.
So those are just elite Scutari troops.
Yeah, and basically, yeah, they're equipped with, like, shields and spears. So, like, if anything starts climbing on the Ordinatus, they repel them from it. And, yeah, they protect them.
Hmm.
They protect.
But, yeah, like, each one is just, it's so crazy. You could really go wild with it. You could write some really awesome stories around something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. Because there's not a lot of stuff in the Imperium where there's room for creativity, really.
No.
Some would say that's
frowned upon.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this, you could really come up with just something crazy.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And it could be like, yeah, this long treasure hunt for RPG campaign where you're trying to discover this, you know? So, that's kind of the information we have on that.
Hell's Reach has one.
Yeah, Oberon.
Oberon.
Yeah.
Formerly Armageddon. Because they're, you know, called for the planet they're built on. So.
Yeah.
Original name was Armageddon, but it is now called Oberon. And it will soon awaken.
So up next.
Yeah, that's the Centurio Ordinatus.
Yeah. They just make giant crazy machines.
Giant robots fighting each other.
Ooh. Up next we have the Auxiliary Myrmidon.
Yes, an ancient order founded even before the Imperium. The origins are unknown. But Mark and I kind of had two separate theories on how we think the Myrmidons happened.
We didn't write it down, though.
No, we didn't.
I forget. No, what was... I remember yours because I liked yours better. Yours was
Ooh, that's right.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, yeah, mine... So the thing about... you need to understand about Myrmidons is they're kind of addicted to war.
Yeah.
And they're constantly trying to upgrade themselves so they can better serve in, like, the theater of war. So you get, like, a tech priest who is, like, you know, augmenting himself, but then he solely purposes all his augments to war.
Yeah, not a single thing into fixing anything.
Yeah, no creation, no, like, nothing like that. It's everything is purpose. Like, his mechadendrites have been switched to, like, pistols only.
Yeah.
Right? And he only carries these weapons, and all his, like, limbs have been replaced to specifically aid him in that theater. And so at some point, like, you just reach a point of no return.
Yeah.
And then you've perfected war so much that you don't really belong with any of the other tech priests.
So you find similar minds.
So you find people that are similar in thought to you of who are also perfecting war.
Then you
war.
Start some cool little cult.
Yeah. Kind of separate from others, but because you're still so useful, people that keep
handshakes.
You around. Yeah. And then at some point you name yourself the Auxilia Myrmidons, and that's how
that's
you
history.
Form.
That's all of history, I think.
Yeah, and then the Emperor comes.
So I forget what mine was, but yeah.
Yeah.
That one's pretty cool. I could definitely see that's how it could have happened.
Hmm.
So, like we were saying, they're masters of war, knowledgeable in siegecraft and all weaponry. They are elite warriors augmented beyond even engine seers.
Hmm.
They're so successful in war that they have also been dubbed war savants. There are very few Myrmidons in the galaxy.
Interesting. So something that's I didn't really like is their knowledge of siegecraft. So if you were to go do research on them, you will first see that they are like masters of siegecraft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you kind of disregard that and then just like read everything there is about them, you will not come to that conclusion that they are masters of siegecraft at all.
Huh.
So it's a little weird.
Does siegecraft have like a definition that I'm not aware of, I wonder?
like sieges are like long drawn.
Like that's like what I would typically medieval. Yeah, that's sieges. What I would think. Yes. But like maybe if you actually look in the dictionary, it has like 0.2 definition. I don't know.
No,
yeah, it just doesn't fit.
It
at
doesn't
all.
Fit them.
But
not,
still,
not as well as like a master of war or a war savant. Like yeah. If you're a war savant, like. Aren't you also masters of like the quick alpha strike?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like
exactly.
You know Siegecraft and you know alpha.
Would you say that you know the perfect time to
strike? I would say that you know the perfect time to strike.
So, yeah, definitely war savants is a better way of describing them. The Ark Magi are the only voice they listen to, and there's one of these per Forge World.
Per planet, yeah.
Yeah. They are often sent to a particular dangerous battlefield, sent as bodyguards to explorators and tech priests to capture dangerous xenospecimen or in just recover of ancient relics. Yeah.
These are elite soldiers. There's not a lot of them, but they are amazing at what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not as expendable as a Skitarii.
Yeah.
Right? So you need foot slog, send in Skitarii. You need something done with precision.
Yeah.
Send in these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no one better to trust with your life than one of these.
Yeah. Each Myrmidon can vary in terms of augments because they're, you know, they're personally seeing to their augmentations.
Yeah.
And because their journey to the Auxilia is a personal one.
Yeah.
Right?
Could be different.
Yeah, exactly. They could have traveled different paths but ended up at the same destination.
Yeah.
You know? Some might not even resemble a humanoid shape anymore.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, they're really, really following that.
Yeah. Myrmidon typically, though, will follow one of two paths after they become a Myrmidon. They'll either become a Secutor or a Destructor.
Yeah. Just seems to be determined by what you prefer.
Yeah. So, Secutors, they focus on brutal close combat weapons, often adding pistol-style mechandendrites to their bodies. They use all the force they can bear to destroy their enemies, even using massive melee weapons and ancient technologies. Yeah, so they focus more on getting in close and personal and just
annihilation.
Yeah.
The interesting thing to note about ancient technologies is because their order is so old, like it pre-exists the Imperium of Man.
Yeah.
Right? Like, has it been around for as long as, like Forge Worlds have?
Probably.
Like, at that point, it's easier to guard something or like keep it secret and safe when less people know about it, right? They might have some wild ancient technologies hidden within like their safe houses or whatever.
Or even they're just using them too, potentially.
Yeah, of course. Like, but all I'm saying is that if anyone had access to like
some wild stuff,
like there's a very good reason you could write something about these guys having a crazy item.
Yeah. So Secutors, they're the melee focus. Then we got the Destructors, which focus on the long range approach to destroying their foes. They are commonly seen with huge cannons replacing their limbs because they are so far...
Huge.
Because they're so far away from their enemies. They also have an abundance of targeters, data arrays, and, you know, other augmentations like that to their body. Yeah. So they focus on just destroying things from afar using fancy weapons like conversion beamers and...
Fancy?
Particle accelerator whips.
Yeah. Science. Hail science.
So these actually have models too. Unfortunately, they don't got 40k rules. They're 30k model, but eventually they will. But yeah, they're pretty cool. Like, go check them out on Forge World. But like these guys, I really like the conversion possibilities like that you could do, because you could really just come up with any type of crazy, you know, six-legged spider creature with guns on him and a head, you know, like could just do something wild with them.
Yeah, as long as I personally think, as long as you keep the theme of either focusing on close combat or on long range, like personally, it doesn't make much sense to me to have a spider body on a Destructor.
No, right? You'd want that quick body on.
Yeah, on a Destructor wants something more stable that can handle knockback or blowback.
Rhino body.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
right. Like I think you could theme these as well, and like specifically designate all your augmentations or conversions, call them whatever you want, to like specific purposes, which is really cool with these. Like you don't really like tech priests are a lot more versatile.
Yeah,
which is good in their own way, but with these ones you really focus and you double down.
Yeah,
right.
They kind of remind me a lot of Necron Destroyers, like
the Destroyer Cult.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's not a terrible thing, except there's like, no madness in these guys.
yeah.
But it is. I do prefer their models though. Like, yeah. I've never really liked the Necron Destroyer model, and these just they fit like that desire to commit war so much better than the Necron model
for sure. Yeah. But
now we just slap on a hover body, and now you're the ultimate killing machine.
As going through these, I'm like, ooh, if I ever do an AdMech army, I got to do all these. And then I got to the next one, I'm like, ooh, if I ever did an AdMech army, I got to do.
No,
all
I'm doing the next one.
So the next one we'll get into, they're called the Ordo Reductor.
Yeah. So this Ordo was created at the moment that the Mechanicum and the Imperium became allies. So in the treaties that, so after the Emperor goes and declares himself the Omnissiah or whatever, you know, treaties had to be signed between Mars and the Imperium to, you know, facilitate all the working
between them. Yeah, because they're different empires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that treaty, there was like a clause that created specifically this Ordo.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to know exactly like the origins of it.
And there's a very good reason why the Emperor did this too. But
Their purpose was to be shock troops, and they are capable of fighting in almost impossible conditions and long past like regular warriors could function. They are called the Bringers of Blessed Ruin, and their sacred task is that of the Unmaker, embodying the Omnissiah's will to destroy its enemies.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
It is kind of cool to say like you embody like a holy aspect of your god.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah.
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 It has a very good ritual of Imperium mix with like the machine of Mars to it.
Yeah.
And it only gets crazier as we go into it.
They're awesome.
This is probably one of my favorite thing we're going to talk about today.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I love like fictional sex. You know, and
interesting
like fictional like, because interesting. You don't get it in
sex.
Real
sex, yeah.
Yeah, like, sex. We heard you the first time you said it.
S-E-C-T.
I also love fictional sex.
I like real sex too, but
I only like fictional sex. I have a date with my hand later. Just kidding.
Like Crusaders.
Yeah, like Crusaders who have like they feel like they have like a holy mission.
Yeah,
you know, like that's for some reason. Well, I don't
defending
know.
The Holy Land.
Yeah.
Are you saying you like Muslim bombers, terrorists?
Sure.
There is something inspiring.
There's an aspect of
there's something inspiring about it. It's like no, I'm serious.
No,
like,
it's the
idea that like you're giving
your life to be so committed to something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
exactly.
Any precisely. Ounce of joy in life or purpose or anything. Reason to live.
No, but you can. I kind of respect it in a way, though I don't agree with it. Like it's like it's to be that committed to a cause. You know?
Oh, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
Like,
all right. So there's the takeaway: Muslim terrorists are inspiring.
Why do you always go to that? There's other things out there.
That was the example we were using.
That's the example you were using. I use the Crusades.
I don't find it inspiring.
All right. You don't?
No.
I find this inspiring.
Yes, sure. This.
You're talking about just like the commitment to
the
ideology.
The idea that you're living for something like so much more important than yourself.
Right.
But it also has like a physical manifestation.
Yeah.
Right? Because like you can say like, I live for health and I'm going to make the world for a better place by getting rid of climate change. Like, I get it. That's your passion, whatever. Follow it. Climate change is real, but yada, yada, yada. But to also be like, I'm going to bring destruction in the name of like this god like who demands the destruction of his enemies. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Due to the Emperor's direct intervention in their creation, their loyalty was often seen to the Great Crusade first, and their Forge World brethren were second.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Like, this is Like, the Emperor wanted a reason, or wanted... So he makes the alliance,
yeah,
and then he wanted something where, like, the Mechanicum are guaranteed to help in the Crusade effort.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, the Skitarii are, you know, fighting in the Great Crusade.
But it's mainly not... only when the forces of a Forge World are deployed.
Exactly. Hmm. It's not an all-the-time thing where the Emperor wanted, like, an actual commitment.
They wanted forces. A fighting force.
Yeah. So he created them. Or put in the treaty or whatever.
Yeah. But it should be noted that the Tech Priests and the Magi given to the Ordo Reductor were already outcasts of their Forge World. So they already didn't belong in their Forge World. So instead, they're like, well, you know, we'll go join the Ordo Reductor.
Yeah.
Still have a purpose.
Yeah. 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 And like Tech Priests and stuff usually don't like the Ordo Reductor. Like, yeah, they're definitely they're noted as a separate thing, you know.
They're outcasts.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so, like, if you're, like, an outcast or everyone treats you like one of the perceived benefits of joining the Ordo was that Tech Priests could remove themselves from the politics of a Forge World. They no longer had to worry about what all their other Tech Priests and Magi were thinking or whispering about behind their back.
Yeah.
Because they were giving themselves to the Great Crusade.
Yeah.
Right? They're giving themselves to this idea that they're serving their Omnissiah, yeah, as like his will manifest.
Yeah. They know what they have to do. Nothing else concerns them.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't have to. Yeah, they didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
I think this is a really well thought out piece of lore within, yeah, 40K. Not everything is, but this one is.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Good.
It's good.
When the armies of humanity failed against their enemies, the Ordo would be then called upon to analyze the threat and sufficiently equip its forces to bring it low.
Yeah, so
they're not an all-the-time army. Yeah, they're like, oh...
They're not the tide that's used on, like, the initial contact with the enemies.
No. Mm. Yeah. You use these if you're too lazy to build an Ordonatus. You lack the commitment.
That's right, yeah. You weren't given the clearance.
Yeah. The forces are led by a Magos Reductor who knows the perfect time to siege, exterminate, and commit warfare.
The perfect time.
The perfect.
He's a genius.
That's an odd throwaway comment.
I don't know where it comes from.
Isn't that our entire podcast? throwaway comments.
It is funny. Sometimes we get like negative reviews where it's like, these guys are too memey. It's like, all we do is just make up our own memes, I think. It's not like we're like, I don't know. I don't think we're super memey. Just our own memes. Like, the perfect time to strike. That's our own meme.
That is a meme we did.
That's something we created.
We did.
With our own hands. The Ordo exclusively used creations called Thalaxes. While they were once humans.
They were once humans.
Now all that remains is their skull and a brain and their spine. So that's fun.
Though, even those are not above being changed and manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, just a quick aside. If you were to go on like the Lexicanum page or whatever, you'll see things other than the Thalax listed as like their forces. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like a lot of their things are actually like Legio Cybernetica.
Yeah.
But, and from our research, all we could find is the Thalaxes were like the only confirmed like troops for the Ordo Reductor. So to me, you've got your Magos, you've got your Tech Priest, whatever, and then just Thalax.
I think I found the reason why that happened, that miscommunication on Lexicanum, is because it says that the Ordo Reductor lends out these troops to gain favor. So you would often see them fighting alongside the Legio,
like the Cybernetica, the automata or whatever.
Then like if you're looking at art right away, you'll see pictures of them beside the Legio Cybernetica, so then you're like, oh, they must be part of that, or vice versa.
Yeah, someone just assumed.
Yeah,
come on, it's 2019.
Okay.
That's a meme, Mark.
What's a meme?
Yeah, memetic culture. Okay. So let's talk about Thalaxes, because this is where it gets really wild.
Yeah.
So they remain humanoid in shape, even though there's still only a skull, brain, and a spine left. They are slightly taller than Primaris Marines, just to give you a sense of their scale. And they are covered in their version of power armor. It's called like loci power armor.
Yeah. Huh. Apparently it was a precursor to Space Marine power armor.
Really? It's a little bit of both. Elements. Yeah. They're like, they take models from each other.
Yeah. But they actually have like miniatures.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cool looking. So, yeah, they're pretty tall. They're pretty bulky, just covered in armor panels. Like a
Terminator-ish?
Bigger.
Bigger.
Oh, just yeah. Google a picture of it. Yeah.
But they're slightly taller than a Primaris Marine. Primaris Marines are bigger than Terminators.
Oh,
yeah. One of the cool aspects of their armor, though, is their faceplate. So they got like...
it's like a glass.
Yeah, they got like a cone face with like a dark black visor.
It kind of throws back to Eldari
masks. Yeah.
If you had to compare them to something, I would compare them to Eldari.
Yeah, but they're so fucking cool looking.
Yeah. So similarly to Dreadnoughts...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are sweet.
And so they're a little bit bigger than the Space Marines, so they're probably like that big.
Wow.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And their guns are just, they're cool guns, got like chain swords on the bottom of them.
I've never seen that makes me think before. Of like Gears of War.
Yeah, they're Forge World exclusive, and they don't have rules in 40K.
Oh, okay.
So.
But if they did.
Yeah, they'll get them one day. Yeah. There's been talks about it for the longest time, but somebody had to die. So
yeah, no, they got to make these. These are awesome.
Yeah, and they got a bunch of different types of them, like different loadouts. They have some that have like jetpacks on them and claws, so it's like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're very cool.
Huh.
So we'll get more into how cool they are.
That's right. So like Dreadnoughts from Space Marine Chapters, the organic parts of the Thalax are completely and permanently enclosed within the Thalax. So you can't... You're not just hopping out of your armor.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Yeah. One of the coolest pieces of art I've seen in a long time is some sketches of these guys. So it's cut down the middle, and half of it is the robot side. And then the other half is like...
Showing the inner workings. The
inner workings. So you see like, you see the human spine and like clamps on it, and you see that...
All the wires.
The face and all the wires going in. And it's drawn in like a very like...
Stylized
art, like a sketch. So it's not actually like...
It's not meant to be like accurate.
Yeah. But
it's meant to give you the feel of what it is.
Yeah. So you can very much see when you look at that. Oh yeah, you're not getting them out of there.
Yeah.
They're part of that.
They're pretty fucking in there. Yeah. Skitarii who fall in battle are the most accessible and willing subjects to become a Thalax.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get more on that after. So now covered by a body of metal modeled after Space Marine power armor, they callously and coldly cut down their enemies. So they've turned into just even greater machines of war.
Yeah.
But being placed in this body places great strain on the psyche of the inhabitant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not uncommon for them to experience psychotic breaks and continuous agony. So because this is what happens to you while you're in the body, the subject's willingness to live plays a huge part in their suitability.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where because I was talking to Mark, I'm like, imagine, it's like they have people and they're just cutting out their brains and their spines and they're placing them in these things. And Mark's like, well, no, it wouldn't work. Because you have to be willing, like you have to want to live in order to survive in these things. Because at some point, if you just give up, the Thalax will fail.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the crazy thing is, so you get these Skitarii who are mangled or whatever. But, you know, as long as the brain...
Put me in, Doc.
Yeah. As long as the brain and spinal cord are like still active. Just
imagine the extraction machine. It's like they clamp the head.
Yeah.
It's like deboning a fish. They just like pull the head and spine off the body. Like...
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's in my mind, it's as gruesome as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not like, oh, here's some anesthetic, like, to ease it.
And just as to further proof this, like, when you become a Skitarii, part of the indoctrination is they grind off your limbs.
Oh, yeah, with a grinder.
Yeah.
Like, they're not cutting them. They're slowly grinding them.
Yeah, into stubs, because that's fun.
Because you need to prove your devotion to the machine god. Right? So, that makes sense.
Yeah. There might be other ways, maybe, hopefully, just maybe a prayer or something like that, maybe, but...
Some meditation. Oh, man.
But because of these, the subject's willingness plays a large part.
Yeah. You have to want to live. You have to be okay with it.
The brain function of the thalex isn't subdued in any way to allow them complete awareness of the surroundings and the ability to react to it. So lots of times you see like people tied into machines and stuff. And like you have examples of servitors and stuff where they're just brain dead, built for
monotask.
Where these guys are fully conscious of what they are.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like when I imagine it, like people wouldn't understand. You don't understand what's happening, right? Like you're effectively lobotomized, right? Like you're just a drooling idiot performing
as a servitor,
performing a mindless thing,
yeah,
right? Not knowing what's happening. And these guys, like, they even have less organic components than a servitor,
yeah,
but they still experience everything. So people talk about like phantom pains when like they lose an arm or whatever. Like you've lost your whole body.
Yeah.
Right. And your brain is at the point where you're still experiencing everything all the time.
And if not experience even more, because they have so many like data input sensors and everything. So like
everything
that
is heightened.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a good time.
It's not great. Yeah, but it's crazy because they need all this ability to process in their brain so they can be better soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? They need people who can problem solve and who can react and aren't just, you know, an extension of a machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So even though their existence can be one long stretch of agony, there is a way to ameliorate or deaden or lessen the pain, really. And
therapy or what are we doing here?
Well,
mindfulness.
Practicing meditation, like
transcending. Yeah. Actually, what they do is they cut out the emotional centers of the thalax's brain.
Ah, yes.
Oh, they don't just download like an app.
And by doing this, the mego brings blessed relief to its creation. Like, are you in pain, Johnny? All right, you snip, snip, snip. Now you can't feel pain anymore.
How you doing now?
Oh my God, that's wild.
Yeah,
I love these guys so much.
Oh, they are very cool. Yeah. They're wild.
And as soon as like you start looking at like pictures, you realize like these are customizable. Like they're not rank and file phalanx. Like you want a phalanx that has claws, put claws on it. You want a phalanx with a massive gun, change it so it like has a massive gun.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier, like if you do an army, just do an entire army of these guys.
Oh, I totally would. Yeah.
Like, they're awesome.
Sweet. Yeah.
They usually carry heavy weapons into battle, advancing in a tide of death on the battlefield. That they function very similar to Space Marines. They're
like if Skitarii are the Imperial Guard, and these are like Space Marines.
You send them in when you have a threat great enough to deal with them, or great enough,
like the regular guys can't handle.
Yeah, exactly. And like Eric said, you can just kind of give them crazy different weapons. The one that they have, I forget what it's called. I'm going to Google it.
Ursarax?
No. The one gun. It's very cool. I got to look it up here.
Should we continue?
Just make some small talk amongst yourself.
No, rabble, rabble, rabble.
What? Why wouldn't they just make more of these and use them more if they're so good? Like, what's the...
Well, just off the top of my head, I can think of a couple reasons. One is they die a lot in their creation because it's just so tough. You need something willing.
Right.
The other is that, like, to be a part of the Ordo Reductor means you don't really function in the Forge world, right? So you miss out on being part of the community that is the Cult Mechanicus, which I think is, like, a big portion to being in the Forge world. Like, you want to interact with other people in your religion, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Humans are social. Yeah. These are outcasts.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not a good life.
Also, it's kind of a shitty existence.
Yeah, yeah. So it's called a photon thruster weapon.
Interesting.
The arcane secrets of these deadly beam weapons are closely guarded by the tech priests of the Mechanicum. When fired, it unleashes a howling, needle-thin beam of blackness able to pierce through the densest matter and easily able to rip the most heavily armored men and machines apart.
So it's antimatter?
Kind of maybe sounds. I don't know. I don't know what antimatter is personally, but it sounds
crazy. Well, it's
the
opposite of matter.
Yes.
We can build one, Mark. It's easy.
The power source of these weapons are extremely unstable and little understood, even by the tech priest himself. and a catastrophic failure can lead to its wielder being consumed by raging black flames.
That makes sense. That sounds good. Almost sounds like warp fuckery.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a variation called a dark fire cannon that shoots dark energy, whatever that means. Unleashing screams of pure darkness.
Screams?
Yeah, screaming beams. Sorry, unleashing screaming beams.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like...
Yeah! Yeah!
Like, that's yeah. What was...
Yeah, like, their weapons are very cool. They have, like, lightning guns, phase plasma fusiliers, ion or IRAD cleansers.
Yeah, it's...
They're very, very, like, exotic with their weapons.
So cool.
Yeah, I like them.
So very cool. But that's, as cool as it is, that's kind of it for the Ordo Reductor.
Yeah. There is some more information online, like, if you got inspired to do them, they talk about, like, how you should paint them. Like, they have all their
heraldry. Oh, yeah, they have the heraldry listed.
Like, so you can... Yeah, it's cool. I kind of like those minor details where it's like, you know exactly what that symbol on the right shoulder means, or, you know, stuff like that, but mm-hmm. it doesn't make for a good podcast.
No, it does not.
You guys... yeah, okay.
Say it, Let's, Mark.
I don't know.
Say what's on your heart.
Yeah. You guys want to know their logo? So, like, each of these Divisios, they have, like, a different symbol.
Uh-huh.
So these one, it's like a full cog. And then it has like a castle with a lightning bolt through it. Like, it's like, fuck that castle. Yeah, yeah. They'll just destroy anything. The Ordinatus's one is a half cog with a giant shell in the middle. And then the top of the cog is like
a shell being bolts. Like a bullet shell.
Oh, yeah. So it's just like a giant artillery shell.
Yeah, yeah.
The Myrmidons. Oh, the Myrmidons was like a full cog with like the typical skull cog face in the middle.
Yeah,
with
it's like instead Jolly
of,
Roger.
Yeah, but instead of bones, it has wrenches coming out the top and the
that's
bottom.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some cool stuff like that.
Yeah,
that you can really get into if you ever decide to do an army like this.
Oh yeah. Oh for sure.
Oh
bud.
For sure, bud.
For sure, bud. All right, so we have two more to go before the end of the episode, but these are. Pathetically small, these ones.
They are, but they open up a lot of like cool thoughts that could happen.
Yeah.
Because both of these, well, one specifically is, it's not like a tabletop army that you would see. It's a lot more of,
no, it
fleshes out the setting more so. So let's talk about the Praefector Magisterium.
Yeah. So this divisio is responsible for preserving the dogma of the Cult Mechanicus. They are the secret police of Forge Worlds and will command military cohorts and hunter-killer claves.
Yeah, so they're just responsible for, you know, making sure you're applying the oil correctly to your machines and doing the right rituals. Like, they're
not trying to create scrap code or...
Yeah, like, they're making sure everything is kept in line. So it's a very cool thought. Like, you'll never see them on tabletop, but, like, you know, if you're writing a story, you could have a rogue tech priest who's being hunted by these guys. Yeah. Like, it just really, you could let your mind go with them. So, like we were saying, like, the Imperium and the Mechanicum, they are two separate empires that have joined together. So, where the Imperium, they have the Imperial Creed, and that's governed by the Adeptus Arbites, which is, like, their space cops. So, this is, like...
Space cops!
Yeah.
That's just funny.
Yeah. These guys are, like, the Mechanicum's, like... They're making sure the Imperial, or not the Imperial Creed.
The Cult Mechanicus.
The Cult Mechanicus is followed. So it's a cool balance between the two. And it really just shows, once again, that, like, they're two separate empires. They're not the same thing.
Yeah. And for me, probably the interesting thing about these guys is that it says they command military cohorts and hunter-killer claves.
Yeah.
Whatever the heck a hunter-killer clave is.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, why would they need armies? Like...
Yeah.
And you came up with, like, well, everything they're fighting is, like, giant crazy robots that have guns for arms and, like, you know.
The one of the other things I said was, say you have, like, an infestation on a human planet.
Yeah.
And if I want people to join, I have to go I have to go walk over to Rio, right? I have to tell you, I have to spend time and convince you, you know, to join this.
Build a relationship
with exactly,
them first.
Yeah.
Teach them the ways.
And yeah. then you go and you do it to your people and your people. And eventually it does grow,
yeah.
but it takes time because, you know, we're human. But if the entire planet is communicating electronically and information is passing so much faster between them.
And you can hack that information.
Yeah, exactly. You can bend people to your will way easier. Then all of a sudden, like, an infestation comes and 3 days later, it's taken over 30 city blocks of these, you're right, massive turrets and automatons and war machines. And so these guys are like, oh, just send in, you know, squad B. Like, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
They need an army
yeah.
to battle this.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So it makes more sense for them to actually have armies and not just be like a force.
Yeah. So very cool. Yeah, they're very cool.
So you could kind of build a tabletop army if you wanted to.
I suppose you could do a very themed one.
It would be, I would enjoy it so much more in like a smaller setting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you did like a very specific campaign where you're fighting against Ad Mech, that'd be,
that'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to see them fight Necron.
No.
Right.
Or anything.
Because they have no reason to do anything other than govern Forge Worlds.
Yeah. But yeah, that's literally all we know about them. We don't know what type of weapons they use, how many there are. We don't know anything, but yeah. So the final thing we're going to talk about is the Basilicon Astra.
So the Mechanicus builds and maintains their own void ship fleet as well as the Imperial Navy. And that's effectively like the main thing that the Basilicon Astra does.
Yeah, yeah. So they have a huge variety of ships at their disposal, from smaller landing craft like the Aquila Lander to massive Arc Mechanicus ships.
The largest ships in the Imperium.
Yeah, which, you know, once again, is thousands, not thousands.
Thousands.
We'll go hundreds
of
feet.
Millions.
Hundreds of millions.
Of centimeters.
Of centimeters. No, they're, you know, like 10 kilometers long, you know, they're just populated by 100,000 people.
But these are bigger than the Imperial, like the biggest one that the Imperium has.
Mm-hmm.
These are bigger than them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so like they don't, but the Mechanicus doesn't give these out to the Imperium.
Yeah.
Specifically for the Mechanicus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, they have their own fleet, you know, billions of ships, you know, from small landing craft to these massive ones. The Mechanicus sees their fleet as having three main reasons for using them. The first one is spreading the cult Mechanicus, which is their number one goal.
That's their religion. Got as many people given those ties as possible.
Yeah. The second one is the quest for knowledge and the search for the Holy Grail, which are functioning STCs.
Mm.
So yeah, just, you know, exploring is knowledge. So these ships will just be sent out to just explore. Even later or earlier in this episode, we talked about how the Myrmidons
explorators,
company explorators, mm-hmm. and like
because
protect them.
It's so important for them that explorators are able to do their duty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the final thing is just in defense or attack. You know, they use them for battles, mm-hmm. for war, so
space war.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you gotta open a bombard a planet or blow up their fleet or, you know, whatever. So.
Yeah, they need a way to protect themselves because, like the Imperium doesn't necessarily always go to their defense, just like they don't always go to the Imperium's defense because they are two separate entities.
Yeah.
So they got to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of that. We're not going to go into all the ships they have. Eventually, mm-hmm. one day, I'm sure we will, but not today. Today is a
what
good
day. What do we
day.
Say today? Another day.
Mm.
No? Breaking Bad.
I don't remember.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Star Wars.
So that's the episode. Like we said, there are
those four
other branches.
Into,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Skitarii we did. There's also the Legio Cybernetica. We'll give you a brief little rundown. Like it's just they just build actual robots. Like they don't have
They're not cyborgs,
you know, it's actual robots, you know, and
Robots,
then,
yeah.
you know, you have Night Houses where they're giant war machines, and then you have Legio Titanicus, which are even bigger war machines, walkers, mm-hmm. so, yeah, they're pretty cool. I learned a lot about this episode. I had no idea that the Thalaxes were so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are awesome.
That's the big thing. There's always like that small piece that you find that you're just like, I did not know that. And but that is awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, like there is just so much awesome lore in 40K. Like,
yeah,
if you really dive into it, you'll find new things all the time that you can just sink your teeth into.
You know what I was thinking throughout this episode is Mechanicum would be a really cool setting for an RPG.
They could be, actually.
Even with what you were talking about at the end, like an explorator kind of thing.
Or, yeah.
Like, there's a lot more room, I think, for creativity.
Yeah, as opposed to playing as, like,
Space Marines
or an Imperial Guard regiment, or, you know.
There was one guy you were talking to. He just really wanted to, like, he loved the idea of doing a Space Marine RPG. And you can just feel Mark's, like, I'm done with this.
He's done with Space
Marines.
He
just, he kept having, like, different ideas for, like, what he thought were good and everything. And Mark's just like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Yeah. Maybe one day. Maybe that might be the next RPG we do for Lorehammer.
A Mechanicum one?
Maybe.
It'd be sweet.
Could be a thing. Yeah, like you could just go really crazy with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just started a new one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty amusing so far.
On Thursday.
Yeah. Especially Eric's character.
Yeah. Yeah, Eric's playing a Disney princess in a Pathfinder game.
And it's too good. That's what
that's the problem. Yeah. It's so good it makes you want to kill Eric. Like, it's just like,
oh. Wait, how did you get so good at being a Disney princess?
I am a Disney princess.
just give him just a little bit of your voice. Just
no, it makes come me on. Never...
If I was to say,
yeah.
Let's go wander into that dark forest.
Oh, I don't go into dark forests. No, no. That's not something princesses do.
Oh, God.
I'll go if you protect me.
Oh, it's so good, but so bad. Yeah.
Sick.
Oh, it's pretty freaking great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So that's the episode. Check out all our stuff, you know. Please help us help contribute to the studio.
Yeah. Fund us, please. Yeah,
like I said, even, you know, anything can help. $1 helps. Mm-hmm. We'll get there. It's going to be sweet. I have a bunch of pictures. So after you hear this episode,
we'll post. Yeah. Check out our Facebook. If you're interested and you want to know more what you're actually contributing to.
Yeah.
Like we can even do a couple videos and just toss them up there. Kind of show you what we're thinking.
Yeah.
For the future, because we want you guys to be as excited about it as we are.
I'm very excited. I'm been this super excited stoked. Since,
Well, you are married.
Yeah, 93 probably. That was a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we want you guys to kind of like be able to participate. So we'll share a lot of what we have, just in terms of pictures and content, kind of keep you updated on what's going on.
Yep.
But. Thank you guys for contributing and thank you for listening. We wouldn't do it if you didn't listen.
I guess one other final thing is we are still taking listener lore submissions. I know we never really talk about it, but
that's because it's been like 4 months since we've done one.
Yeah, but we still take the submissions, so
we're going to do them eventually.
Yeah,
and as soon as
we have a huge backlog,
as soon as this place is like set up in that new studio, it's way closer to all of us.
Yeah,
it's way easier.
I don't
easier.
Have to set up like a time to do it with my parents when they're free.
It's way easier to access, so we can just push more content.
Yeah, exactly. So send us your listener lore. Give us your money.
Yep, those are the only two things we care about,
pretty much.
Send us your lore so we can make fun of it, and send us your money so we can do more of that. Are we the baddies? Yeah,
cool. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys.
Peace.